This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am super excited to bring on Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, who is an insider, who is incredible at his job, and just a wonderful addition to the sports media world. So Jeremy, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate you having me, Tracy.
Absolutely. And we're big on intros here. I want people to know that they're appreciated and wanted. And so that segues into the first thing I want to talk about. Yep. And that is, of course, Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers have wrapped up their offseason program. They had mini camp last week, so they're done. Brandon Ayuk still has not signed a contract extension, as we know. I think personally for me, as someone who's been around this team for several years, been around the building, yep, I really felt that it would get done by training camp, that it would follow the same formula of George Kittle, Fred Warner, more recently Deebo Samuel, and Nick Bosa. And Nick Bosa came down to the wire 2 days before they opened the season in Pittsburgh. But I really did feel it was going to get done. As time has gone on, he did not attend minicamp, which Kyle Shanahan downplayed. But to me, it stood out because Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa did attend mandatory minicamp during their contract negotiations. But as time has gone on and it sounds like they're farther and farther apart, it feels like this may not get done. And Brandon Ayuk may be playing on the fifth-year option this year.
Yeah, it does feel, Tracy, like anything's possible here. He can certainly play in that fifth-year option and then hit free agency if he's not franchise tagged. And he would do quite well in free agency. And mm-hmm. most players ideally want that. But I'm sure playing for a contender like the 49ers, being now really their top receiver, I would imagine has high interest in returning, but it's got to be on his terms. This is a receiver who's really worked his way into the top 10 conversation now. And mm-hmm. if you're a top 10 receiver, really the market is 30 million. That's kind of what it's become. You know, you saw Amon-Ra St. Brown get his deal with Detroit, 4 years, $120 million. If the 49ers feel like Ayuk is not in St. Brown's weight class as a player, then they could hold firm here and just decide, hey, we're not going to go high, or we're not going to at least get close to that number, or maybe beat it in some metrics, whether it's, you know, guaranteed money or 3-year cash flow, or, you know, all those things that agents and players like. If they draw a hard line, then it's going to be difficult, and this could really drag on. And I think it would be uncertain to say right now whether he'd be there for training camp, because he's already shown by missing minicamp he's going to play hardball here. Mm-hmm. And it's a tricky one to do, you know, because you have a lot of mouths to feed over there, a lot of star players you have to pay. You already have a wide receiver on the books for well over $20 million a year in Deebo Samuel. It's hard to carry two of those and still pay other players, you know. So, but they're kind of in the race of all these veterans getting their money before they have to pay Brock Purdy in a year or two.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Well, and that it brings up, you know, the interesting point. We talk a lot about Super Bowl windows. And then with this group, this year is the window. This is the year to win it. And that some of these decisions are things they're going to have to make next year. The chances are if they do get a contract extension done with Brandon Ayuk, then Deebo Samuel probably is not on this team next year. Maybe George Kittle isn't on this team next year. But a window, another window I'd like to talk about, and then I have a couple of questions on something you said earlier, but a window I want to talk about first is we do talk a lot about their Super Bowl window. Did they miss their Brandon Ayuk window? Because they had an opportunity to get this done early. So then it's not a Monroe St. Brown contract or a Justin Jefferson contract. It was, yeah. How does it compare to the Brandon Ayuk contract? And did they overplay their hand perhaps or make a mistake there?
Well, it's always, I always equate this stuff to like when you see airline tickets that are on sale, you know, like my wife will say, hey, you should buy these tickets. Like we should get these and go somewhere it's on sale. And I'm like, well, I don't want to spend the money. And then 2 months later, you decide you want to make the trip. Well, the flight's more expensive, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's very similar with some of these markets. The Eagles got ahead of it with Devontae Smith and some of those receivers. They tried to just pay him early, knowing that mm-hmm. 2 months from now, the money's going to look different. And that's kind of what's happened. So, you know, you could say the 49ers took a misstep in that regard. But I don't know if they were really comfortable paying what they had to from the beginning, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, this is – there's – you have the top four or so receivers who are making $30 million. And then you kind of have like Devontae Adams right under there. And then you kind of have a different weight class. It's like, you know, Jaylen Waddle, Nico Collins – Devontae Smith all kind of making between 24 and 28 million. So if they want to lump him in there, Ayuk's probably saying, well, I feel like I'm either better than those guys or I've accomplished more or my market's higher. So sometimes you need a little time to breathe to see if one side is willing to compromise or not. And so now they have 6 weeks, right, before training mm-hmm. camp to see if somebody closer to camp will just say, okay, I'll give you this concession. If you give us this, or maybe they can make Ayuk, you know, paid as well as Amon-Ra St. Brown in certain metrics, you know, or maybe it's a signing bonus or whatever it is. The 49ers are going to have to get a win in the negotiation and Ayuk's going to have to get a win and they can try to find a sweet spot that way. So it's the longer you wait, the harder it gets, you know, and it's different. Like let's say Trent Williams was a year from free agency and he was 32 years old, right? Like he's the top player in his position. Christian McCaffrey, best running back at his position, mm-hmm. even though he had 2 years left on his deal. Like those kind of players, you know, Justin Jefferson, Minnesota, best receiver. Like, okay, that's a no-brainer. Let's do that deal. Ayuk's really good, but he's not really in that top five as mm-hmm. far as caliber wide receiver. So it's tough in that regard. Like, do you stretch for maybe the 10th best player at the position? That's a tough call for a team that has to pay a lot of other players.
Do you look at Ayuk? This is just your opinion. Do you look at him as an equal receiver to an Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I think he's close. I do think he's a top 10 wide receiver. I think he's earned that right. And look, mm-hmm. that's considering all the wide receivers out there, that's quite the accomplishment.
Right.
So I do a summer project every year where I rank the top 10 players each position, but I do it through like an informal poll with scouts and coaches and execs. And wide receiver is always the hardest position because they're like 30 good guys. Mm-hmm. And Ayuk's like top 10 right now. He's like 10th. So that's ahead of guys like Cooper Kupp. I mean, there's some stars, you know, that fall a little short of that. Jaylen Waddle. So it's like he's earned that right. It's just, you know, there are tiers and he's not in the top tier. So are you willing to pay a tier two receiver that money? That's really the question San Francisco needs to answer.
So I have another the question. I'm really going hard hitting here. No, I'm just kidding. But I am kind of curious. Do you put Deebo Samuel, and you just look at him as a true wide receiver? See, I would put Brandon Ayuk higher than Deebo Samuel as a true wide receiver. Now, obviously, there are other things Deebo does and can do and has a tremendously unique talent that he has on the field, and there are special things he can do. But when you come to it being a true wide receiver,
yeah,
which one of them is more that role?
Yeah, I think true wide receiver Ayuk's better. I really don't think it's all that close anymore.
Right.
You could argue Deebo's a better player.
Yes.
And so it's tough. Yeah, it's but I think based on today's game and how it, the reason why these receivers are getting paid in a lot of ways is because it's a numbers game and a chess match where you draw a double team, or maybe you draw extra safety help with your route running, mm-hmm. you know, your ability to get open. Ayuk does that better than Samuel. In the opinion of most people around the league, you know, now Debo does so many other things. It's mm-hmm. quantify him differently. But if we're talking route running, pure wide receiver, Ayuk is better. And because of that, like that pays. And that's worth, right. because of the numbers game, if you have to dedicate a safety to that side, that's two people out of 11 on defense occupied by one player, sometimes three, that gets paid. So that's the tricky part. Now, if you're San Francisco, you can say, well, Kyle Shanahan's system, McCaffrey, Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, like they have so many pieces. Maybe you can argue or talk yourself into the fact that that we don't need that guy, or we can draft that guy, which they drafted Ricky Pearsall. Mm-hmm. So because it's all circumstantial, and the 49ers' circumstance is a little different than others because of they can always generate offense. So maybe that's the calculation they made. You know, we have five skill guys that are really good. We're not going to pay one $30 million. You know, that's very possible.
It is possible, but you bring up Christian McCaffrey, and to me, his presence on the team does change Debo Samuel a little bit. Obviously, they are different players, but they both have these very unique skill sets. And so it'll just be interesting to see, or did the 49ers say, okay, now that we have Christian McCaffrey, we can eventually part with Debo Samuel. But the thing for this this year is what I mentioned earlier, is their window. And I know they don't publicly like to talk about Super Bowl windows, and they say, well, you just never know, and all of the things. But they are a better team with Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk on it this year. And it becomes an interesting conversation too, because if Brandon is willing to miss training camp, you know, both Debo Samuel and Nick Bosa have been very open and honest with the fact that their holdouts did affect their careers, or they're not their careers, their years, that those years that they did hold out, and Debo didn't hold out nearly as long. And what I think becomes an interesting conversation for the player, and I don't know how Brandon Ayuk is going to think about this, is, okay, if we're not going to get this done and I'm going to play on the fifth year and could become a free agent next year, am I better off getting to camp and just putting my best foot forward, literally, and showing, you know, what I can do and proving that I really do deserve all that money?
Yeah.
Or do you just wait it out and see? And that's obviously a question for Brandon Ayuk, but I think it's an interesting discussion as to which one benefits him more.
Yeah, for sure. And there are a lot of different routes you can take. You know, you look at the fifth year option he's on, it's $14.1 million. You know, that's not a small amount.
Right.
So that is hard to walk away from when you just played 4 years at $12 million in total on a smaller mm-hmm. rookie deal, you know, late first round mm-hmm. pick. It's tough, right? Like, at least now in year five, you're getting into more real money, guaranteed dollars, which should be guaranteed. You know, they picked up the club option. And so, yeah, but, you know, Nick Bosa said, hey, that's not good enough for me. My fifth year option's not going to cut it. You know, now he was a different tax bracket, you know, because mm-hmm. at the time, defense player of the year, probably top pass rusher in the NFL. That's premium position. It's a little different conversation. So it really depends on what he's most passionate about. You know, like I think from all I understand, Ayuk is pretty set on getting fair dollars. Like mm-hmm. he's just not interested in taking a below market deal based on what he's done and what he can do for the offense. Like he's pretty bullish, I think, on that from all indications I've gotten. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me either way. Or maybe you do a hold in. A lot of guys do that. They show up and they just say, hey, my hamstring's tight, I can't practice. And that happens a lot with franchise tag guys before mm-hmm. they sign their tender, you know? So there are games that can be played from agents and players that I expect to be exercised here if nothing's reached.
And then, of course, the other part of this, which is a huge part of this, is he is Brock Purdy's favorite wide receiver. And that they have a tremendous connection. They have tremendous chemistry. And Brock Purdy is someone who next year is going to sign a big deal. He is their franchise quarterback. He is going to be their quarterback for the foreseeable future. So you take that into account as well. How important is it to get Brandon Ayuk there, pay him what he wants, to make sure that your quarterback is happy and comfortable? Because I think that does become, you know, a big part of the discussion.
Yeah. So man, I wish, what I don't know is how convinced the 49ers are, or like how hard their line is on how far they're willing to go. Like if they're saying, hey, well, let's say we'll pay you a deal that's 4 years, $26 million a year. And they say, we're not budging from that. And I don't know whether or not they're willing to be flexible. Typically they get these done, right? Like we saw with Nick Bosa, that was a little contentious because he was missing time. Mm-hmm. They got it done. And you know what they did? Like the day they got it done, they restructured a bunch of contracts.
Yes.
Like three or four of them, I believe. Like, and you could see it coming, right? Like there, and I remember hearing about it the night before, like, hey, Bosa's getting done. I'm like, why? Like, do you know for sure? I'm like, well, what I know is that they're restructuring like four contracts right now. That's what I kept hearing. It's like, that was the tell. So you can always do that. And the 49ers seem willing to kick that can down the line by just, you know, playing credit card football and reworking contracts and taking the cap hit later, knowing that you can work around it. That's kind of what they did with Eric Armstead, and they eventually had to cut him. Mm-hmm. So like something has to give, you know, like you said, that's probably a good, you know, definitely a good point that if they sign Ayuk, then Samuel might be one and done in San Francisco. Like it's just hard to keep everybody.
Oh, it absolutely.
That's why the trade rumors around the draft were not just rumors. I mean, they were real conversations. The teams I talked to thought that trading for Ayuk would have required a first round pick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Samuel, there were some talks on day two, because I think the team had pivoted a little bit and started kicking around both players a little bit as an option. Mm-hmm. Decided they were going to keep both, you know? So that tells me that their value on Ayuk is high. And so if their value on him is high, then they're probably going to find a way to pay him.
That's what I believe too. And of course you mentioned they draft Ricky Pearsall. They've just signed Jawan Jennings to an extension, but I agree with you. That is why I still have a level of confidence that they do get this done. And then what will be interesting to see, and will give us plenty of things to talk about as the season starts and goes on, is they do that and Ricky Pearsall plays well and they're, you know, chucking along, and then come the trade deadline, they need something. Because they always need something, and it's something you can't foresee. Someone will get hurt. Yeah. Something will happen. They're missing something. And then at that point, then you know, do they trade like a Deebo Samuel? It'll be kind of interesting to see how this plays out. It's a lot of ifs, a lot of what ifs, but it will be interesting. And then I've seen a lot of people use the analogy of, you know, if they don't pay him and he plays on the option, it becomes like the Hunger Games between Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk as to which one of them is going to have a better season and be there next year, which creates a whole other thing. And that does create something, because it is a close wide receiver room, and they're relatively close and they've played together for a while. So it, you know, be curious just to see how all of this plays out. And Deebo Samuel did tell us at mini camp that he has talked to Brandon. He has given him advice, yeah, and they are in contact. So I think that's probably a good thing, but it will be interesting to see how this plays out. And you're right. Someone's going to have to budge. Probably both of them are going to have to budge. So the 49ers have to be like, okay, we'll do $28 million. And Brandon Ayuk says, well, I want 30, and someone's going to have to give somewhere, or they just play it out how it is and they go. It's just the danger of that for Brandon Ayuk, of course, is what if he gets hurt? And that's the thing that's so hard in football. And so I never blame a player for holding out and getting everything he thinks he deserves, because they could get hurt and he could come back and one play his career could be over, God forbid. But these are things that they have to think about more so than maybe in a baseball game or a basketball game.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's, I think about the 49ers and some of the questions they had around a decade ago, and they made that run with Jim Harbaugh and had a bunch of star players, and eventually all those guys need contracts, you know, and it's a challenge for a team whether they can handle their own business individually and with the team and still keep a cohesive unit in the locker room. You know, I think that's the 49ers challenge right now. I get the sense that they are a tight-knit group that's not going to have that problem, but it requires some nuance and probably some frustration on players' side to fight through all that, you know. So at least McCaffrey's now done. If they can get Ayuk done, they cross a few of those off the list. You know, I don't wonder if George Kittle didn't have core muscle surgery, if he wouldn't be knocking on the door for a new deal right now. You know,
right.
He was only 1,000-yard receiver at the tight end position last year. So good problems to have, but it's going to be costly.
It's interesting when you bring that up and being a tight knit group, and they definitely are. And I did a story on this, not last season, but the season before. And I asked a lot of them, including Ayuk and Debo, that there are a lot of stars in that locker room, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of ego on a weekly basis. And to a player, they said, it's because we want to win. And that's really all we care about. And we know what it takes to win. And it's interesting kind of in retrospect in what's going on now. And I don't think that that's changed. I think that's 100% what they want to do, but they still have to be paid fairly. And this is where it gets difficult. So, you know, we'll see what happens over these next 6 weeks. I personally do not foresee it happening before the start of training camp, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, they got the whole summer now to figure it out. Teams typically disappear right now, mid-June. Minicamp's over. They'll go vacation with their family. You know, mid-July, they start maybe talking again, try to figure something out. So I expect maybe some fireworks closer to the start of camp.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So now that we've figured out the Brandon Ayuk deal, sort of, I'm going to talk a little bit about this coming season. And we alluded to Super Bowl windows earlier. And I know they publicly don't love that conversation. And Kyle Juszczyk said last year during training camp, it's like, well, I mean, when we, you know, drafted Elijah Mitchell or Deommodore Lenoir in the 5th and 6th rounds, we didn't know they'd be what they'd be. So windows aren't really a thing. But I think privately they do know that they have a window. This is their year. They were really close last year. Obviously, this is the year. And so if they don't win it this year, how do I say this? I don't want to say, is it a failure? It's not, but they don't win it this year. Are they then looking at, all right, probably now 5 years down the road, we're back in contention. 3 years down the road, we're back in contention.
Well, it depends on how they replenish the roster, how they draft. You know, this year took some swings on position like wide receiver, secondary, like how are those draft picks going to pan out? You know, you got to get younger and get good in a hurry.
Yeah.
Your back end players, you know, like when, the starting safety, the Pro Bowler, Hufanga went out last year, you know, they bring in the young rookie safety out of Penn State who played well for the most part, from what I saw. And so that's valuable experience for a guy like that. So when you can afford to play a certain veteran, that player can step in and sort of replenish the roster. So, it does feel like they're at a crossroads a little bit, because I don't know how long these players can stay healthy. You know, George Kittle, Trent Williams both battled some stuff last year. Christian McCaffrey, not McCaffrey, he was pretty healthy. Who was the other one that was hurt? I mean, you know, Debo missed games over the years.
Charvarius Ward had a core muscle surgery, a different one than.
And that's another guy they got to pay. You know,
another guy. Hard. And also Deommodore Lenoir. I mean, those are two guys that they're probably going to, I know, and Kyle Shanahan basically said this to us, you know, at OTA's minicamp. Those are two guys they'd like to extend tomorrow. I don't know that they're going to be able to do it. And I don't know that they can pay both of them.
Yeah.
So they bring in an Isaac Yiodom. They draft Renardo Green. They bring in guys that they think maybe can make up for that. But that's going to be a tough position to pay both of those guys, because they're both coming off great years. And Deommodore Lenoir is also incredibly durable. I mean, he's barely missed any time since he's been starting. And that's an important skill, which I don't know if it's a skill or luck, but whatever it is, it's important.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It does feel like the window is tight. It feels that way. That certainly with what they have in place with Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Brock Purdy and McCaffrey, like, they're going to be competitive and they're going to be contenders, but the window they have now with like elite players at almost every position, some of whom are 30 years old or older, it does feel like it's got to get done now.
And the biggest one of those is something I know you alluded to earlier in the week. And I know you had said it's not something you've heard from the organization, but is Trent Williams going to, you know, eventually want a new deal? But the thing with Trent Williams that I think to me, and I've said this before on this podcast, he's to me the biggest piece of all, because he's the best at his position and the offensive line has been good enough. But if Trent Williams gets hurt, then they're in trouble. I mean, of all the positions, like, then they are really in trouble.
Yeah.
And that one to me is huge. He is 35 years old. He's been playing at a super high level. But how long does that even last? You know, I think that's the other thing with their window this year. To me, Trent Williams is kind of like the biggest piece of that and why they really do have to get it done.
Yeah, the problem is he's got the 3 years left on his deal. You know, maybe they can work something out similar to McCaffrey where, you know, you're putting an extension on there, but it's probably more of a sweetener, you know, just a way to get him higher paid, get some, you know, get some extra guarantees on there, some incentives, make it look better. And in the case of Williams, you know, it'd really only take a few million dollars to put him back into the highest paid left tackle conversation. Because right now, I believe he's third behind Laremy Tunsil and Andrew Thomas. So, you know, that this is a player who can say unequivocally, I'm the best in my position. It looks like he's still maintaining his level of play as long as he's healthy. You know, like
that's the thing.
Talking to a few scouts last year, they were like, you know, he looked good. He did look a little compromised at times. They figured that was injury related, you know, whether it's ankle or whatever it is. So he's shown he can fight through that. And I think his deep understanding of the system and what Kyle wants to do will help him age well. I mean, it already has. He's 35, but that can give him a few more years based on how he can navigate it and how his skill set fits it so well. So that's really going to help. So the age is an issue, but it's not something that's going to deter him right now. So look, it's just one of those things where when I'm asking around on contracts and asking around, you know, people around the league, Williams has come up a few times. That's why I mentioned it. Mm-hmm. It's not like a hard and fast thing where they're, you know, he's holding out and the team's, you know, got to do something. I don't know where that stands. I just know that there've been whispers about that for a while with Trent needing something done with this deal.
Which is understandable. And I even mean more when I say they need to get it done. I mean, they need to win because you're right. He's been playing at that high level, but he has battled some injuries the last couple of years and there will potentially come a point. I mean, he may play three more years, but he may not. And they need him on that line. Like to me, he's one of the biggest parts of, if not the biggest part of their Super Bowl quote unquote window this year is still having Trent Williams playing at a very high level. So it'll be interesting to see, but as you mentioned, now it's 6 weeks off. And for those of us that cover the NFL, we also get some time off, which is a nice change. People think there's an off season. There's not. Complete misnomer.
It's very short. It used to be like a teacher's schedule. And now it's like, you got a couple weeks.
You know, I think I've said this before on the podcast that I was packing for the combine. And as I was packing, I thought 2 weeks ago at this moment, I was sitting in the press box covering the Super Bowl. That is kind of bananas. We don't really get that much time. But Jeremy, I appreciate your time today. And thank you so much for joining me. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, just go to Jay Fowler ESPN is my social media handle, ESPN.com, ESPN Plus. You know, we're all over the place. So, it's going to be a little quiet here NFL news-wise, but that's okay. And then we'll ramp back up, I'm sure, in July. And there's always something, franchise tags and contract disputes. And so I'm sure that will occupy our summer.
Always. There is always something. You guys can find us at FGSN.com. You can find me at TracyFGSN on Twitter, at Tracy Sandler on Instagram. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by FIVO. And if you like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to give us a positive review and a 5-star rating. And I believe those are all my announcements. I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye all.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.